a reflection given to the online service on the 1st of February. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continuing our Epiphany theme of Revelation today, we come to the temple. What a contrast to the humble surroundings of the stable in Bethlehem, where we worshipped the newborn Jesus just 40 days ago. We've left behind the shepherds who witnessed the coming of the King, with the angels singing God's praises in the night sky. We've heard the story of the wise men from the east who came to offer their gifts and to share the revelation of Jesus' coming, and who are now returning to their Gentile lands with the great news of the Messiah. There might be a bit of a time lapse here as to whether you think the wise men came just a few days after Jesus' birth, or whether it was more like 2 years, but let's just focus on the message tonight. And now Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to Jerusalem. In accordance with Jewish law, Mary has to complete purification rites following the birth. And Jesus, as firstborn male, is required by law to be redeemed, to be consecrated as a sign of dedication and devotion to God. The temple location is significant for God's intervention. Jesus' birth narrative began in the temple, let's remind ourselves, with the priest Zechariah being visited by an angel to announce the coming of John the Baptist, his son whose destiny would be to prepare the way for Jesus. Jesus called the temple his Father's house. And at the crucifixion and at the death of Jesus, the dividing curtain of the temple was torn in two. We're now introduced to two characters who are both integral in the revelation of Jesus, Simeon and Anna. In today's story, the Holy Spirit nudged Simeon to go to the temple that day, the day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus there. Anna, the other witnessing character, was always on hand at this holy place, where she worshipped and prayed. These two elderly people lived quiet, faithful lives, which prepared them for this unexpected holy meeting, when they spoke God's words to an unknown young couple fulfilling their religious duties. Another layer of dedication and faithfulness to add to the day's rituals. And they had waited all their lives for it. The Oxford English Dictionary offers two definitions of waiting. Firstly, as staying in a particular place or delaying action until a particular time or event. And secondly, as acting as an attendant to. Both meanings apply. Waiting, practiced well, requires patience, something that's often in very short supply in our modern world. And so let's turn now to words from Psalm 27, whose last verses are, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord." Words of reassurance and comfort at all times, and they sum up how Simeon and Anna lived their lives. What are you and I waiting for? I think that question is posed and answered differently at the changing times of our lives. As children, we remember waiting for good things to happen, such as the moment when we could open our stockings on Christmas morning, or playtime during the school day. As we grow up, we are advised to wait for the right opportunities to open up in our lives, maybe in a relationship, or a job, or in finding the right place to live. We might also, throughout our lives, eagerly anticipate holidays and social events. And then, as we reach older age and potential health issues, we might find ourselves waiting for diagnoses or treatments, and more happily, for family gatherings. And ultimately, we wait for the end of life, and what that promises to us as Christians. These last few days and weeks have been filled with waiting. What must it be like to be trapped in one's home or vehicle by rising floodwater, waiting to be rescued? What must it be like waiting for news of a loved one after a disastrous train crash or fire? What must it be like to be in a war zone, waiting for that next explosion? What must it be like to be a prisoner waiting for release? Waiting doesn't have to be a lonely time. It doesn't have to be an unhappy time. There are so many examples we can take strength from throughout the Bible, where there are numerous stories of individuals who demonstrated patience and faith whilst waiting on the Lord's guidance or intervention. Abraham and Sarah, waiting for a son. Moses leading God's people in the wilderness. Noah waiting for the flood. Joseph wrongly imprisoned in Egypt. Job awaiting personal restoration. The apostles waiting for the Holy Spirit. And our characters of today, Simeon and Anna, waiting for the consolation and redemption of Israel. In both Simeon and Anna, we see a willingness to wait on God patiently, day after day, in hope and expectation. This is what we mean by hope. Not a willful desire that says, it would be good if, but a certain hope, a real trust in God. Simeon had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He could not have known precisely what that meant, but his long, patient time of obedient waiting on God meant that he was instantly able to see in the baby Jesus the Messiah he had been waiting for. Taking him in his arms, Simeon prayed the words that we know as the Nunc Dimittis. And the elderly prophet Anna, who never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, also recognized the Christ and immediately began to speak of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This revelation of Christ was to both Simeon and Anna a fulfillment of their patient waiting and a great gift of peace of mind. And what of Joseph and Mary? After all they had experienced in the past few weeks and months, it was another extraordinary divine intervention in their lives. Mary herself must have been profoundly shaken by the words spoken by Simeon, not just that many people's hearts would be opened by what Jesus would bring to their lives, but that her own soul would be pierced by what was to come. They left Jerusalem and returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. They simply returned home. And this seems unexpectedly ordinary after the extraordinary events in the temple. But this is one of the striking things about God's story. So many so-called normal people have a starring role, but they need to return home at the end of the day. The same applies to us today. It even applies to the most reverend Sarah Mullally. The extraordinary stuff is intertwined with the ordinary, but those who live through extraordinary divine interventions do not forget. They are transformed, and we can but imagine that the hearts of Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna were filled with wonder and hope. Being a Christian can also be extraordinary as we become more and more touched by God, draw even closer to him. We need patience, certainly, to grow. We see examples of it so much in the biblical teachings and stories. But being strong and waiting, as the psalmist tells us, will enable us to see the goodness of the Lord. Good things come to those who wait. Amen.